want to talk to you today about, obviously, the death of Jesus. And the title of my message this morning is Believe. Would you like to turn to your neighbour and say, Believe? In John chapter 19, if you have your Bible or your phone app, whatever it is, verse 28 says this, John 19, 28. Jesus, and this is the New Living Translation, Jesus knew that everything was now finished. And to fulfill the scriptures, he said, I am thirsty. A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. And when Jesus had tasted it, he said, it is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The time in Jesus' life, this time in Jesus' life was foreseen, particularly in the Psalms and Isaiah. Psalm 22, which was written approximately 1,000 years before Jesus was born, states he had a burning thirst true to his condition. Isaiah, written at least 700 years before the crucifixion, states that he was wounded and crushed for our sins. He was beaten that we may have peace. He was whipped, yet we were healed. Jesus is on the cross and he says, it is finished. God's plan for him had reached its completion. Jesus has done what he came to earth to do. He has made right for our sin, for our wrongdoing. He has sealed up the vision of prophecy. He has inaugurated the kingdom of God, a new way of living in him. He rose again on the third day. The death has been overcome through the work of the cross. Is anyone grateful for Good Friday? And some of the most destructive blows that Jesus endured are found in the Gospel of Matthew. And without turning there, I'll just refer to them this morning. See, it's not what is actually done to Jesus that I want to pick up on for a moment here, to harm him as bad as those things were. But on that Friday over 2,000 years ago, it was what was spoken to him in his dying state as he's hanging on the cross. And this is what the Jewish leaders and some of the crowd shouted out. He saved others. Let's see him save himself and come down from the cross. Let's see Elijah come and save him. It's the last cruelty he was to suffer, the most unfeeling thing that could be said to someone that's dying on a cross. He was and is the Lamb of God. We've sung about him this morning. He was and is the Lamb of God, the suffering servant, the perfect sacrifice. In John 19, 31, the Jewish leaders didn't want the victims hanging there the next day, which was the Sabbath. A very special Sabbath at that, because it was the Passover. So they asked Pilate to hasten their deaths by ordering that their legs be broken. Then their bodies would be taken down. The Jewish authorities are so calloused that they are more concerned with their religious day and their place in the celebrations than they are about Jesus's unwarranted death. What a tragedy. To live your life in such a way as to have no real concern for anyone else. What a tragedy to think that you are doing the right thing. What a tragedy to think you know the truth. Thinking you are a good person. The Jewish authorities would have known their Bible. and the prophecy spoken about Jesus, they knew them too well. It is one thing to know something. It is quite another to believe. John 19:35. This report is from an eyewitness giving an account. It is presented so that you also can believe. In the Gospel of John, prior to Jesus' death, there was a conversation between a man named Nicodemus and Jesus. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He's a member of the Jewish ruling council. He's likely one of these guys that's actually maybe even shouting out on this last day. We're not sure. And Nicodemus chooses stealth, visiting Jesus at night. He did not want anyone else to see him with Jesus. And Nicodemus says to Jesus, I know you are a man sent from God, otherwise you wouldn't be able to do all those miracles. I know that you are an incredibly great teacher. And it would seem to me that Nicodemus is interested in Jesus and who he is. However, as the conversation continues, it is also apparent that Nicodemus does not truly desire to believe. And I want to give opportunity for everyone before we finish this message this morning that you will truly believe. You see, Jesus says to Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus responds, how does a man go back into his mother's womb? And for that matter, Nicodemus continues, how can a man be born again when he's old? And Jesus says, what is born of the flesh is flesh. Pinch yourself for me, will you? Give yourself a pinch. What is born of the flesh is? What is born of the spirit is? And Nicodemus says, how can these things be? And Nicodemus needed a paradigm shift from the natural to the spiritual. Nicodemus would have known the scriptures. He would have been familiar, because he's one of the Jewish council, with the books of the Old Testament and the prophecies about Jesus. He would have been familiar with the Psalms and the prophet Isaiah. In Joel, it actually says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. He would have been familiar with that scripture. In Ezekiel, it says, I will put a new spirit in them. I will take away their hearts of stone and give them tender hearts instead. And so whilst the Pharisees were so careful to preserve the words of Scripture, they forgot its spirit. Here today, you are either like Nicodemus or you are like Jesus. There are approximately 8 billion people on the planet. But the truth is, in the sight of God, you are one of two men. Jesus says to Nicodemus, you can't be in my kingdom because you are not my child. You are still a part of the first Adam. God caused Adam to go into a deep sleep. He took from Adam's side one of his ribs and formed woman and said, at last, she is part of my own flesh and bone. And this explains why a man leaves his family and the two become one. Okay, hold all that thought. The first Adam is God's created son who falls into sin. I mean, it could be said, couldn't it? I guess it's an old saying, but hey, it's a good one, you know. God said, why? And Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the serpent, and the serpent had no legs to stand on. He did something. Now, we're just talking about everyone that is part of the first man. We did something that God asked us not to, thinking that we knew best. It's the eternal problem of the human condition, thinking that we know what is best for us. And this is what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. You think you know what is best, but actually you haven't been born again. So you are looking at what I am saying from your own understanding. When you are born again, you are part of the last man, Adam. My spirit would be in you and you would know me. Nicodemus was close, yet far from Jesus. And just as the first man, Adam, got his bride by falling into a deep sleep, the last man, Adam, Jesus, had to go into a deep sleep too. And on the cross, Jesus said to the Father, "If it be your will, pass this bitter cup from me." But the Father said to his Son, "I can't introduce you to your bride unless you go to sleep." Jesus has sacrificially and lovingly chosen the church to be his bride. John 19:33 says this, "So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the two men crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already, so they didn't break his legs." The prophecy is fulfilled even further. He's the Lamb of God. He was the perfect sacrifice. He rightfully holds the title as the Lamb of God. And John 19:34 says, "One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear, and blood and water flowed out." When the Roman soldier pierced Jesus in his side, the blood began to flow. The new covenant of the New Testament was in his blood. The life and cleansing power is in his blood. When you see the blood and the water flowing out, you are seeing you and I. It is the church, the New Testament, coming out of his side. Jesus took a loaf of bread, and I'm just confirming everything that, you know, the Bible is very good at this. He backs up everything. There's hardly just one verse on anything in the Bible. It's so true what God has done for us. And it says here, this is in John as well, just before his crucifixion, Jesus took a loaf of bread and some wine and shared it with his disciples just prior to his death on the cross. This is in Luke 22 and verse 20. And this is what he says. "This wine is the token of God's new covenant to save you. An agreement sealed with the blood I will pour out for you." The New Testament is in my blood. The bride is in my blood. Believers in Jesus Christ are the bride of Christ. Believers in Jesus Christ wait with great anticipation for the day that they are united with their bridegroom. And as the Roman soldier opened up the side of Jesus, so his blood flowed. So he brought out the body of Christ. And now the church stands as the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. Is anyone grateful that we are the body and bride of Christ here this morning? And so what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus was this: are you going to continue to do what you think is right? Doing what you thought was right didn't work out so well for the first man, Adam. And people have been blaming each other ever since. But I have today, through the shedding of my blood, reconciled all men to God. I haven't come to condemn the world, but to... John 3:16, we saw it in that little video before. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes, say it with me, believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. The first man, Adam, dies with this world, but God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Jesus poured out his blood on that cross and ensured our freedom. Will you accept what Jesus has done for you on the cross? Will you believe? If I can ask the musicians to come, those of you that Tor spoke about earlier. Jesus shed water and blood on the cross. He has poured out his water and cleansed you. He has washed you clean. He has poured out his blood and brought you into his kingdom. The cross of Jesus Christ has given you opportunity to become a part of the body of Christ. So I want to ask this morning, because we live out our new life, our born again life, through the body of Christ. And Nicodemus could not identify with Jesus because he had not formed a relationship with him. He wanted to keep his life to himself hidden. And the Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you confess your sin with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus has come and has come to save you and set you free, that you will be saved. And so every person who believes that Jesus died on the cross for their wrongdoing is forgiven and cleansed by God. We are born again by His Spirit. He poured out his blood for you and I to set us free. And through what Jesus endured on the cross enables you and I to have direct access to God. John 19:35, let me say it one more time. This report is from an eyewitness giving an account. It is presented so that you also can believe. Can we stand to our feet this morning, church? I want to ask this morning, will you believe? With every head bowed and every eye closed, will you accept what Jesus has done for you on the cross? He has made a way for us to be reconciled, to be truly born again by the Spirit. And so may I ask this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, which man will you be? Will you choose to belong to the second man, Adam, Jesus himself? Place your trust, your faith in him today. Belong to the body of Christ. He poured out his blood for you. And this account is presented so that you will believe. And I'd like us to pray a prayer together this morning to invite Jesus into our life. And at the end of that prayer, I would ask for those of you who have not received Jesus and would like to please just raise your hand and I'll see it and you can pop it down again. Also, at the end of the prayer, if you know that you have been in relationship with God, but you are now away from Him, you're disconnected from His life, from His body, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, will you come back today and make right with your Lord and Saviour? And also, maybe you're not sure that you are going to heaven. What Jesus has done was perfect love. Perfect love casts out all fear. You should not fear death. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Let us pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. Thank you for dying on the cross. I believe today my sins, my wrongdoing is forgiven. I believe that you are my Lord, and I accept what you have done by dying for me. I receive you into my life right now by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.